Doc found himself standing in a room similar to the one in which his corporeal form was lying prone. Blurring and wobbling at the edges of his vision, the room contained the mainframe computer, the couches, the trailing wires, but not the skeletal forms that were molded to the couches. These men were now standing in front of him, clustered in the middle of the room. They looked as they had to have when first joined to the mechanism. Fat, sleek, well-fed military and intelligence services men, middle-aged, and experts in their own fields of diplomacy and conflict. Fields that were too rapidly rendered barren by Skydark. One of them smiled. They all smiled. Their eyes reflected only the same glow of insanity that Doc had noticed in Wallace.
Welcome to the mechanism. It wasn't designed to admit fresh blood, but the technicians have done a fine job in joining you. It was unfortunate about our colleague, but we were warned that accidents and acts of nature could occur.
Acts of nature?
Doc backed away from the man's outstretched and welcoming hand. He checked himself when he realized he was in cyberspace, a virtual reality where they couldn't physically harm him.
Death can come to us all, from nowhere.
The man lowered his hand awkwardly, feeling snubbed by Doc, but not wanting to lose face. He turned the lowering into a sleeve-tugging gesture on his Air Force uniform.
I hardly think from nowhere. Extreme old age is hardly an unexpected cause of death.
Old age?
The Air Force General turned to his companions. Excluded, Doc took this as an opportunity to survey the room further. It was an almost perfect replica of the room in which they were all strapped, with one glaring omission. The wall where the glass observation window into the control room beyond was situated. There was no window. There was nothing but a blank wall. Doc also noticed that the door into the anteroom was open. What lay beyond that?
I find that we have some questions to ask you before we accept you into our fold, not the least of which is how you came to be here. My colleague here was under the impression that the Kronos operatives had tired of your constant disruption and had used you as a part of an experiment in forward time travel. You were their great success in trawling, but as for forward travel...
Doc felt a bile of anger begin to rise. A success? He remembered the obscenities that were Judge Carter and Ambrose Bierce. Remembered the agony of being trawled by the cruel whitecoats, and was painfully aware of his own mental instability. So that was success?
Do you know what's happened outside your moribund and absurd machine?
No. We have been cut off from the outside. Some sort of communication breakdown. It happens, even in the best-run complexes, and this is such advanced technology. We've been running through simulations, waiting for the call. But so far there has been nothing. In truth, we, have rather been hoping that you can tell us.
Doc was drained of anger by his surprise. For a moment he forgot that these men were part of a project that had ripped him from the bosom of his family and hurled him twice into futures that he should never have witnessed. For a moment he looked on them as human souls as lost as himself. Trapped by harsh circumstance in a world for which they were not made.
Have you been fed no information about the world? Hasn't Wallace been giving you the data?
Wallace is a good man, but it seems to me he's losing his grip. I've noticed a deterioration in his mental capacity over the time period we've been hooked up.
Doc was about to comment to the new man, an army general, that he felt Wallace was bordering on insanity, when it suddenly struck him. This man was talking about the General Wallace who'd been in charge of the redoubt when they were initially hooked up to the Mobius. He had no idea that he was now several generations of Wallace down the line.
Do you actually know how long you've been linked together?
Something you will soon realize, Doctor, is that time has no meaning as such in here. Once you become part of the Rat King, as you just have, then the outside world and all its concepts become very... abstracted is probably the best word.
To a ridiculous degree. There is no need for this computer. There are no reds anymore. There's little of anything anymore. Your obscene plans caused the end of the world as you know it.
You mean there's been a war?
You could call it that. Skydark. A total nuclear conflagration that has laid waste to the world. What we used to call the United States is now the Deathlands. And believe me, gentlemen, it more than lives up to that name.
So, who won?
Nobody won, you cretin! Everyone lost. There is no world as you know it. There's nothing. Just outposts of mutated idiots trying to take little degrees of power and justify their pathetic existence. Just a few people trying to make their way in a rad-blasted world without being chilled by those of little sense.
The man in a suit stepped forward and spoke for the first time.
I'm sorry, Doctor, but that just doesn't make sense. It doesn't fit with any of the models we've used for our simulations over the years, and those models were very carefully planned and plotted to cover any eventuality. There's no chance that anything could have happened outside of that.
I've been outside of this mechanism. Have you?
Of course, before we were attached.
I'm talking about since then. You've been in here over 100 years. How could you possibly know what has happened?
Because the simulations and simulatory models fed into our mainframe covered every possibility.
Have it your way, gentlemen. Have it your way.
Oh, but we will. After all, there is one flaw in your argument.
What, pray tell, is this flaw?
Simple. If the outside world is so irrevocably changed, then why do we still exist? Who is keeping us maintained?
Gentlemen, I acquiesce. As I am here, you may as well show me where I am to live.
Very well. We know you are Dr. Theophilus Tanner, but we have no names. We are one with a mechanism, and something you will have to realize is that you too will become one. You will cease to have the trappings of individual ego and meld into the amorphous brain of the Rat King. We are one, and you will be one with us. When that happens, then the mechanism will once again be in full working order.
Doc resisted the urge to ask why the Mobius would need to be in working order when there was nothing for it to do anymore, no world into which it could possibly fit. Instead, he merely nodded, and allowed the other members of the Rat King to lead him from the chamber. As one, they filed toward the door into the anteroom, moving in a close mass that seemed to shimmer in Doc's mental vision, so that they at moments appeared to meld into one creature, rather than a collection of individuals. Doc followed, wondering what was waiting for him through the door.
Really, Dr. Tanner, this just won't do.
Why not? I have nothing to lose, do I? After all, this Alice in Wonderland hell of absurdity is not a world that I know. It is not a world that I care to know. My only desire is to return to the bosom of my family, to my own time, to my own world. Is that really so much for a man to ask? If you were in my position, would you not ask the same?
The white coat scientist scratched at his balding pate. He'd been warned that the Kronos Project's only success was a problem in the flesh, but he hadn't expected an argument of this sort.
You aren't a stupid man, are you, Doctor?
That, my dear man, is possibly my great curse.
Doc settled back on the bench in his cell and looked at the chains on his manacles.
Manacles? After all these centuries, the military still uses manacles?
You realize, of course, that we only use these on you because you've been such a problem. We've never had to resort to such measures before.
I'll take that as a compliment.
You see, Dr. Tanner, we control these memories for you.
The Rat King's voice wormed its way into Doc's brain, eating at the corners of his mind, and reminding him that he wasn't actually in the 1990s, but over 100 years ahead. Not really in this cell, but strapped to a couch with electrodes connecting him to a mainframe computer.
To what end?
To show you how powerful the mechanism is. To show you what we can do. To show you what you can do if you join us. Not that you have any choice in the matter. You will be absorbed eventually. We all had our qualms and doubts to begin with, but in the final analysis, we became as one. And it is glorious, Dr. Tanner. It is glorious. But allow an indulgence.
Doc found himself back in Baron Teague's Hellholeville, strapped to a table and subject to the attentions of the hideous Court Strasser. Pain racked Doc's body, even though he knew this to be ridiculous. He was inside a computer, and the computer was inside him. He wasn't in any real danger, although it did cross his mind momentarily that the computer could be stimulating his cortex in such a manner as to simulate pain. He was unable to detach himself from the searing agony of torture enough to work these thoughts through logically. The memory was too much. Of course, they knew that he'd ended up in Strasser's hands after being flung forward by the whitecoats at Kronos. Of course they knew that this was where Ryan Cotter and his band of survivors had entered Doc's life. Of course they knew that this was where he was about to escape, to be set free. They couldn't change that. Could they? Strasser was silent as he prepared the next torture. He had already burned Doc, and the frail man's limbs were aching where he was stretched out on the torture table, tied so tightly that he felt as though his wrists were about to burst with pent-up pressure, and his fingers were numb where the circulation had been stopped.
It's a pity you've lost the sensation in your fingers. These pliers won't be quite as effective as they would have been if you still had feeling there. Ah, well, this'll just be a delayed torture for you, won't it? You'll just feel the benefit of the pain when you've been untied and left to rot for a few hours, when the feeling returns.
What do you want from me?
Want? Who says I want anything? I enjoy doing this. That's reason enough.
I know, you ugly, stupid fool. I wasn't talking to you.
Not talking to me? I knew you were crazy, old man, but I didn't think it would amuse me so much.
Shut up! You will be overwhelmed soon enough when Ryan and Christie arrive.
The short, rounded Finnegan, with his tall black friend Hennings, good warriors, long since lost, but not in this moment of time. A silent tear left Doc's left eye and trickled down his cheek as he remembered their chilling, and the chilling of Laurie, and the others who had traveled with them across the Deathlands, but had perished before reaching this stage. Good people.
You're beyond crazy, old man. I can't enjoy my work if you don't shut the fuck up. So, I guess I'll just have to shut you up myself, won't I?
Strasser took the pliers, and instead of grasping one of Doc's hands, he used the powerful fingers of his free hand to pry open Doc's jaw. Doc was so weak that he couldn't resist Strasser's grip. He felt the cold metal of the tool's nose as it touched his tongue, felt the cool scrape as Strasser opened the nose, the tickle of the metal as it searched for the edge of his tongue, one half of the nose slipping underneath his tongue, the other sliding over the top surface. He felt the pinch as the two halves of the nose started to move together, the pressure on the top of his tongue turning into a cutting edge that drew salty blood as the nose began to bite into the flesh. The pain shifted gear, moved into another dimension as the pliers took a firm grip, and Strasser started to exert pressure. He pulled on the pliers, the tongue moving out of Doc's mouth, extended at the root until the pulling was quite painful to him. Until he felt the flesh and tendon at full stretch. Until he felt the tendon start to tear, the flesh start to rend, the pain start to drive him over the edge. But this was a false memory. It hadn't happened like this. Why was it occurring now?
to show you our power to alter reality, to be reality. We are the Rat King. We are God. And you will be a part of us.
No! No! This isn't happening! It isn't happening!
Doc clamped his hands over his ears, screwing up his eyes to shut out all light. It made no sense. He wasn't a physical body at this moment. How could he cover his ears when his hands had been tied but a moment before?
Not happening! Not happening!
Why was his tongue no longer hurting? Doc opened his eyes and let his hands drop. Suddenly, he found he was standing upright instead of lying down. And he was in a room full of people.
This is our true purpose.
Doc turned, no longer surprised. Behind him was the cabal of men that comprised the rest of the Rat King.
Just tell me, before we go any further, what are your names?
We don't have names, Dr. Tanner. Not anymore. I used to, but we are Mobius now, and it is us. You will be part of it. Part of us.
I feared as much.
Doc turned back to the activity behind him. It seemed to be something that he'd seen before, in his days as a prisoner of the Whitecoats.